turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. At the end of August, I'll tell you this while you're still turning, or maybe you already got there, but you got the little flip tabs and you go right there. At the end of August, I was out in our grapevines. We planted grapes at our farm about 8 years ago, seven, 8 years ago, shortly after we moved there. And so we got six vines, and they go across about the end of our garden, and they cover. And last year we did not get them pruned as we should have. And so I'm out there trying to pick these grapes. And as I was out there picking these grapes, God said, "You know, there's a sermon in this, right?" Well, he didn't give me the whole thing then, but this is where this is coming from, is about the grapevine, because then these verses truly came alive in John 15, where John writes, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless you abide in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you may be my disciples." It's pretty interesting as you read through these eight verses how many times things are repeated over and over again. And it's definitely, whenever something is repeated, it's something that we probably need to pay attention to. It's like those times when Jesus says those things like "truly, truly," or depending on your version, "verily, verily." Well, in these here, Jesus says this many times. And one of the things that he says it in verse 1, and he says it again in verse 5, "I am the true vine." In verse 5, he says, "I am the vine." Now, what does it mean that Jesus is the vine? That's the thing about today. I hate to say this, but I wonder that people who live in metropolitan areas where everything is basically steel and concrete, how they can relate to anything where Jesus says, "I'm the vine," or "I am the shepherd." How do they relate to that? And sometimes even some of us, I'll be real honest, until I was out there fussing and cutting all my grapevines, I'm not sure I truly understood what it meant. The reality is, when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," or "I am the vine," what he means is that he is the source. He is the source. And the Jews that he said this to, well, he says this to his disciples, but they would have understood this. And any other Jew that would have been there, and that they, when John writes this, the Jews would have understood exactly what he meant. That the vine is that part where the nutrition and everything comes up through the soil, and all the power and all the life and everything that happens, happens because of that vine. The power comes from the vine. The branches do not produce any power. the sap comes from the vine and comes up and grows. And so when Jesus says this, he's saying, you can't really do anything without me. And he very plainly says that then in here, where he says that, didn't work it. Where he said, you know, if you abide in me, you bear much fruit, but without me, and there at the end of verse 5, you can do nothing. How many times in our lives do we try to do something and we fail? Because we really don't ask God if that's something we ought to be doing or not. We may have great hopes and dreams and ideas and ambitions, but the reality is if we don't ask the Lord what His direction is, it's going to fail. One of the reasons they would have known about all this too is if you want to turn over to Isaiah chapter 5, they would have understood this because they had been briefed, or they've been told about this from God in earlier sayings from the prophet. In Isaiah chapter 5, starting in verse 1 to verse 7, and now he's talking to the people of Israel. Now let me sing to you, my beloved, my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out the stones. He planted it and planted it with choice vine. He built a tower in its midst, and he made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. That's kind of like us when we come and we think Jesus is our Savior, and then we take off and decide that we're going to do everything all on our own. Yeah, we've got the fire insurance, but as far as actually trying to follow and do anything that God really wants us to do, we're not doing it. That's really what that here, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men in Judea, judge please with me in my vineyard. What more could have been done with my vineyard that I had not done to it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedges, and it shall be burned. I will break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. It will be laid waste, and it will not be pruned or dug. But there shall come up briars and thorns. And I will command the clouds, and they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry of help. So God said, see, the thing is, when we get saved, we still have choices. We still have choices. And sometimes we, as Christians, say, you know, I just don't see what God is doing in my life. I don't see how any of this is working. And it's because maybe we have become some wild grapes. Not been pruned. Not been cared for. Not that God isn't trying. But we're sometimes like kudzu that just takes off and grows totally wild. The good thing is in Isaiah, he goes back here to Isaiah 27. I'll give you one more here. He talks about then the fruitful vineyard. And the fruitful vineyards is in verses 2 through 6. And I really think this vineyard is speaking about the church. In verse 27 in Isaiah, he said, "Then that day, sing to her, a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. Fearing is not in me. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together, or let them take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob, and Israel shall blossom in bud, and fill his face with world of fruit." So there is a fruitful vine, but I believe that's what the church is supposed to be. Why? Because Jesus is the vine. We can't do anything without him. And that's the main point here about Jesus. Now the second point I want to make is about the Father. And he talks here about the Father here in verse 1. Where he says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Like I said, I was out there and we had not pruned our grapes last year. And you know what? I had these things like this. And I'm trying to pick grapes. And I picked them before. And I'll take one little thing and I'll grab them and snip them and put them in my bucket. Well, I was having to reach through vines and things and then trying to get them. And then grapes I got falling off and everything like that. The Father is a vine dresser. He comes and he prunes us exactly the way that we need to be pruned. He prunes us, one, to get rid of all the dead weight and stuff that we carry around. And some of us carry a lot of dead weight around. When I was in the Navy, worked for this organization that was called Credo, and all I did it was a great job. For 3 years, all I did was do retreats. That was it. That was all I did was retreats. We do it either Thursday through Sunday or Friday through Sunday. That was my job, doing these retreats. And one of the things that we would do in there is we would have like a duffel bag, and we would fill it full of stuff, and then have people kind of pull it around and say, you know, is that heavy or whatever? How could you move better? Well, if I didn't have all that stuff in there. You get it? How much stuff are we dragging around? How much of our past that God has come and he has forgiven or has brought us to a new area are we still holding on to, dragging around, keeping us? See, God wants to take and go, snip! You don't need to drag that around anymore. It's not about your past. It's about your future. See, when Jesus Christ forgives us, he forgives us of everything. There is nothing too bad that he cannot forgive. Except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And you know what that is? Not letting the Holy Spirit point you to Jesus for forgiveness. The Father wants to prune us of those things that are holding us back. He also wants to prune us from those habits and things that we do that don't benefit us and that maybe are even sinful. He wants to take those from us too. And let's face it, you know, we're human beings, we have habits and things like that, and we kind of go, but sometimes things have to stop. And it hurts. See, that's the thing about pruning. I mean, I don't hear my vines go, ow! But when I think and I read like this, you know, when the Father is the vine dresser, he's doing that because if we read on here, it says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch, get that, yeah. And every branch that he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. In the pruning and in the taking away, and in another translation, it'll say cleansing, cleaning. It's the same, the root word is the same. It's about cleansing and removing. But it's two different words. And one is to take off and cut off that which is no longer necessary. And the other one is to renew us and to give us the opportunity to move on. And that's where forgiveness comes in. Because we can get stuck. And we need to move on. Because, see, if we don't, we can't bear more fruit. Now, bear more fruit does not mean that you're out there saving every soul in the world. Fruit is not souls that you save. Okay? I want you to understand that. When it says here, bear more fruit, that is not the number of people that you can notch on your belt that you help get into heaven. The fruit is being obedient to God and Jesus in what He has called you to do. Because one of my favorite verses, and I'll go back to it again, Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for the good works that He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a purpose for us. And so He's pruning us, He's whittling on us, He's sawing on us. Maybe He's got to get the jackhammer out on us, maybe sometimes. Trying to get us to do those things that He wants us to do, because He knows that if we do that, the possibilities are endless. See, that's the big thing. I think I mentioned here before that a year ago for Father's Day, my son signed me up for this thing where I got a question every week. And I was to write a story or write a comment or whatever about a question. And one of the questions was, you know, what like small decision ended up having a big impact in your life? That was one of them. And I won't go into what that was. But as these different questions came, there was one about, you know, how's your life different than you thought when you were a kid or something like that. And I said, there's no way when I graduated high school, in the bottom third of my high school class, the only thing I really liked in high school was history and advanced mathematics. And the rest of it, I didn't really care for that much, to be honest. Did I know that I would be a minister, have a doctoral degree, travel the world, marry the love of my life, and be married for 43 years? Didn't know any of that was possible. And the thing is, when God prunes us, and we grow in that pruning, there's endless possibilities. I remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a part of the Free Church of Germany in World War II. And one of the things that Bonhoeffer said is that when we step out of our secure world, which then he puts in parentheses, is really not secure at all, and we step into the world of God's possibilities, which is truly endless possibilities, that's when we find real security. And when God is pruning us like a vine dresser, pruning us just right, because see, grapes want the right amount of light, but the grapes themselves also want the right amount of shade. So God is clipping here and here and here, making it just right. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You're human. You're not going to be perfect. Okay? If you're a perfectionist, get over it. Okay? Need some help there. You know. When Jesus says here, and this is, it comes down here, In verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. The only way that happens is if you follow exactly what he says in there. If you abide in me. If God is pruning you to make more fruit, if you are abiding in the vine, and what does abiding mean? I wrote this one down because I thought, wrote down here someplace. I guess I didn't write it down, but I remember what it said. No, there it is. Abiding places are places where one is deeply at home. Do you feel at home with the Father and the Son? I remember when we moved into our home 8 years ago. It was like, this is home. Felt like I'd finally came home. Do you feel like that with the Lord? Or is he still that thing that's up there and out there somewhere, and if I don't do it right, what is he? What does Jesus keep calling? Daddy. So should we. And if your home was terrible, I'm sorry. And if your picture of a father is terrible, that's not what this father is. This father is loving and kind, forgiving, accepting, and runs to every prodigal that heads home. So abiding is being home with God. And that's what we, that's the us part of this. The us part of this is our abiding in him. You're not going to sit there and go, I want some fruit. All you're going to do is hurt yourself. But if you're where God wants you to be, you're kind of like an extension cord. It's probably a good illustration. You're like an extension cord that you're plugged into the vine, ready to plug in to that thing that God wants you to be plugged into to make it shine. And that could be a person. That could be a program. That could be, the possibilities are endless with God. But are we ready to be where God wants us to be? That's what these eight verses are really all about. That we are attached to Jesus Christ. That we allow the Father to make us what we can be. And that we remain available and willing, whatever it is that he wants us to do. And it doesn't mean that he's going to call you off and you have to go to Africa or you have to whatever. It could be that he wants you to go talk to your neighbor next door. Whatever that possibility is. So, the thing is, when we're in his presence, and this is a good thing, if we get good at abiding in his presence now, when we get home, it'll just be even better. So are you letting God do everything he wants with you? Are you connected to Jesus? Are you letting the Father prune you which is not always easy. And are you resting in the everlasting arms? That's not our hymn of invitation, but it's a good one. Are we resting in his arms? Are we abiding with him? That's all we need to do. If we abide with him, he'll take care of the rest.